Hello and welcome back to the All Time Gaming Super Show podcast. My name's Steph and today I'm joined by Chris and Roisin. How are you guys doing?
Hello, just a couple of players over here.
Oh, I made that mistake last time. Players.
We are players, technically, Steph. Yeah. Nothing to feel bad about.
I think that's going to be my catchphrase. Every
couple
time I start
players.
Any video, I'm going to say, I'm with these players today.
Yeah, you need something to differentiate yourself from the rabble.
That's it, players.
There you go.
Players. Coined it.
Players? Yes.
Hi,
podcast.
Steph.
Hello, Steph. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little bit stressed out.
Why?
A lot of things going on with my life at the moment.
Oh, yeah?
You're going away?
I'm going away. I can't wait.
Where are you going?
Japan.
Oh, shit.
Scumbag.
Yeah, I know. Well, jealous.
Tell me about it. I've always wanted to go to Japan.
Yeah.
Never been able to do it. So.
And Vegas.
And Vegas.
No.
In the same trip?
Not in the same trip.
Ridiculous.
Two separate
outrageous.
Trips.
Who's going to be doing your work while you're away, Steph?
When the thumbnails are looking shit. No.
You're going to see this man here.
Yeah, when the thumbnails are looking shit, it's when Steph makes them. When they're looking good, it's me making them.
Yeah, that's it.
Why? That's not nice.
Yeah. Well, I thought today, in the wake of Crash Team Racing, Nitro Fueled coming out tomorrow.
Oh, can't wait.
We'll talk all about remastered games.
Cool.
What's good, what's bad, what goes into, what makes a remastered game good, what goes into remastering.
Hell yeah. So something that...
Cash.
Yeah, money.
Gotta make that money.
So it boils down to, right? Yeah. This is something that me and Jamie kind of touched on in the last few podcasts.
Sure.
So yes, looking forward to this one.
Yes.
Well, before we start, I just want to mention that in the description down below, if you are watching on YouTube, you can find a link to our Patreon where you can pledge for $1 a month.
Ooh.
To join us on Discord. And there's also a link to our new merch where we've got hoodies, jumpers, or pullovers, as we found out that they were called, weren't they?
Pullover hoodies and sweaters.
And a pullover sweater. So very confusing terminology, but...
There you go.
No, it just doesn't have a zip in the front of it. That's all it is.
Although, we have now... It's like they gamify everything. We have now unlocked the next tier of Teespring merchandise that we can start bringing to people.
So what's that? Wristbands?
No, zip-up hoodies.
Oh.
Nice.
T-shirts with the pockets, and this like the pocket is a different design to the rest of the t-shirt.
Oh, shit.
And all over printed hoodies, whereas before it was like, oh, you could only have just the front.
So now you can have multiple.
Yeah, so
triangles.
we can make like a Louis Vuitton kind of like pattern.
Oh, hot trash.
I want one of those.
Louis Vuitton pattern.
Louis Vuitton.
I just want a key ring and a vinyl sticker.
And I'll say this.
A keyring and a onesie.
I will say this, right? If you pledge $1 to Patreon,
yeah,
right? Let's think about this now. That gives you access to our Discord.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're on our Discord
and
you message me directly and ask for, I don't know, a 5% off of merchandise, I'll oblige.
Chris can give that to you.
And then that's almost like that $1 is paid for moreover.
There we are.
Natural salesman over here.
That's what you do. Chris is leaving, by the way. He's going to be selling clothes, maybe cars in the future.
Maybe.
Yeah. Listen, if this ATG thing doesn't work out, I know I've got a career to fall back on.
Also, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV. So if you've got any questions you want to ask us, if you've got any anecdotes about today's podcast.
Got any designs for any t-shirts?
Got any designs, yeah, like Jose A.
Sent us a design.
We may consider that.
Yeah.
But before we get into the main crux of today's podcast, what have you guys been playing?
Oh, what haven't we been playing?
All the games.
A lot of games. We've just come out of E3, right? So
sure.
Things have been quite hectic for us, but we've started to slip into our normal.
We've normalized. We've leveled down.
So I think from here on, like, you know, the gaming world is our oyster. Roche, have you been playing any games?
Nothing
like,
new.
Yeah.
I played Firewatch for a little bit. Not for a little
Cracking
bit, just
game.
The, like, yeah, it's
Great
very
story.
Very good. I look forward to getting.
Are you playing it on your Switch?
No, I'm playing it on my
PS4.
Oh, okay. Because it was free, I think. No, I bought it. I bought that one. I actually bought a game.
Wow. Hell yeah.
I could afford a game. No. It's very good, very
Have you played
funny.
It before? Is this
no,
the second playthrough?
This is the first time I've played it. I know of it. I don't know anything about it, so that's cool.
So you don't know the twists and turns.
Yeah, there seems to be. Yeah, there are bits where it's a bit like, is this a bit sinister? Is this a bit like, is this a horror game?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, I don't think it is. And then yeah, the intro is quite powerful, emotive.
Yeah.
I just realized we don't have the pop filters. God damn it.
Popping.
So sorry if we're popping in your old ear.
I got quite emotional.
Really?
The intro.
Yeah, it's very heavy.
If my memory serves me, it's about his wife gets dementia.
Dementia, yeah.
And at the time, my granddad was suffering with dementia.
So it hit you quite hard.
So yeah, it really hit me quite hard.
That's
and I was
pretty
like,
rough, yeah.
This is a game for me.
But yeah,
and
I like
is or isn't. Oh,
is yeah.
Right.
I thought that
helped
that
you process invoked, some emotions. Yeah.
That punched me straight in the feels.
Oh,
and
I like how quiet
I was just
it is
like,
as well.
Yeah, great. Yeah. This is the,
very atmospheric. Very nice.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see what their next game is. That Valley of the Sun or whatever it's called.
Yeah, definitely.
Now a Valve company.
Are they?
Oh, right, yeah.
Wow. They brought them over. So, that was
so hopefully
good.
They'll release Campo a game.
Yeah, exactly, at some point.
Hopefully they will release the game.
So funny you say that, because that's the game that I've been playing, Rush, is the latest, well, kind of, the latest game from Valve, which is Dota Underlords, which is their take on auto chess. I attempted to stream it.
Right.
When was it, last week or Friday? Exactly, that's pretty much what it was. Hey, listen, I had good intentions, right? I was like, this at that time, so, it was like, this game had just launched.
Yeah.
On like a on beta.
Yeah.
All right. Exclusive for people that bought the compendium in Dota 2. It's like, all right, cool. I'll check this out and let's stream it because it might be good for SEO. People might be interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know, because it was the beta, it did not have a tutorial system and I had no fucking idea what I was doing.
So how did that work?
Well, Roshi, you know what happened is I switched off and I just started playing Dota on that stream. It's like, well, what am I going to do? Like, I don't fucking know.
So it's chess, essentially.
It's auto chess. So it's weird. So I've been playing it, trying to get my head around it and watch some kind of like YouTube tutorials. I think I'm kind of getting it.
They should put it out there. What dicks?
Well, I'm going to put it out there. I still don't like the game as much as I'm trying to force. I'm going to give up, I think, because I'm trying to force myself to like it, but I'm not liking it. Because the thing is, at one point, it was a mode within Dota 2 that was more popular than the actual Dota 2.
That's crazy.
It had more concurrent players than the actual base game.
But now it doesn't seem...
So now they've spun it off because it's obviously hella popular. League of Legends have got one called, TFT, what was it? Like, the fuck, whatever.
Okay.
And whatever. And of course. LOL Auto.
Yeah, exactly.
LOL Auto Chess.
And the people that made the Auto Chess mod have spun it out into their own game, simply called Auto Chess.
Mm.
It's doing mad numbers. People are fucking playing it left, right, and center, and I don't understand why.
Oh, you've been left out of the Dota party.
I just don't get it. I've got to stop trying to put that square shape into the round hole, right? Like, it's just not going to work out. What about you, Steph? Before you leaning over with your
Thought rather than keep unscrewing my bottle like I did last time, and
going,
I thought I'd leave it. I'd leave it unscrewed.
You need a sippy top like I've got, you see?
I should. Look at this. You don't even have to tilt the bottle.
That one's stupid as well.
Oh. You got the fitness. The fitness shaker.
Fitness shaker. What have you been playing,
What
Steph?
Have I been playing? Well, as you guys know, and as some of you at home probably know as well, some of you regular listeners know that I'm quite late to the PlayStation.
Yes.
Very late to the PlayStation, in fact.
Yeah. So late.
Oh, this is great.
So late, his PS4 is big and square and fat and ugly.
It's big, square, fat, dusty. And has
it makes a lot of noise.
And has a Stormtrooper vinyl over the top of it.
So you bought it second hand?
Yeah. Wow. It was cheap. It cost me like £110 or something like that.
Fair enough.
It's a terabyte hard drive.
I just remember the day I got rid of my one. And I was so happy. I was like, I love you, but no.
What have you got now? A Slim?
Yeah, not a pro. Not a pro, but yeah.
Not a pro, got a Slim.
But hold on. Because what did you play?
I've just finished God of War for the first time.
My game of the year.
And the reason why I forgot that you was going to say that is because you were so, you one of the people I've spoken to out of everyone who just didn't give a shit about the game. You didn't seem to care about the story. I didn't even know what you was going to say. And I was like, oh yeah, Steph played God of War. But when we've spoken about it, you're just not taken away.
I wasn't blown away.
What?
Admittedly, I wasn't blown away. And I think the reason being is that I never usually play those kind of narrative single-player games.
Fair enough.
I've grown up with
multiplayer
and sim
games
simulations.
Like Counter-Strike.
Yeah,
or, and now I play Heroes of the Storm like a religion.
Fair enough.
Oh, Heroes of the Storm.
I know Chrissy's going to hate me for it.
Excuse me while I retch all over this.
But for what it was, I kept going back. I kept loading it up. I kept going back. The hell. Niflheim?
Yeah.
Niflheim. Oh, I hated that realm.
Ooh.
Worst.
It was really hard.
It was hard. It was just boring.
Have you gone off any of the Valkyries yet?
One, and I gave up.
Yeah, because I think one Valkyrie is part of the main story, isn't it?
Like, one is easy. Well, not easy.
Oh,
one
which
is
one's part of the main story?
No,
the one you probably went with.
Well, I
killed any?
No, I gave up.
Oh, okay. No, I feel like the first one you ever fight...
Isn't it in like Odin's Chamber or something like that? And
I don't think it's necessarily part of the story.
Yeah. Elm or something like that. I found that, couldn't do it, so I left.
That's the easiest one.
Mother.
Yeah, like I did one.
I'm not playing any more Valkyries other than that. because that was way too hard. Unless my gear was just so low.
Yeah, well, that's the end game. Get better gear and then go after gear.
Better gear. And all right,
so I mean, we got to get into the main kind of thing. But well, what did you feel?
Yeah, just quick summary.
Yeah, quick summary. Surprising at the end. Don't spoil it. It's been out for 7 years.
Yeah, but maybe
years
don't, spo- don't spoil it.
Surprising ending. Love the ending.
Did you get it?
Got the ending.
Are you sure?
Good.
Yeah, because the worst thing was...
yeah. I don't think you did.
I keep myself to a very strict cutoff when... Because I have to travel to work very early. I keep myself to a very strict cutoff. So I got to the top of the steps at Jotunheim.
Home of the Giants.
Jotunheim.
Kratos takes off his bandages.
Yeah.
Does a little cutscene. I thought, oh, I'm going to bed.
So that's a crucial moment. Yeah. I'd just like to let everyone know, not to spoil it, but it's a very important moment. You're probably like 5 minutes away from the really good ending.
Yeah,
and,
but that's Steph in a nutshell for
Steph
you.
Steph didn't care.
How many Steps out of 10 would you give it?
Oh, I'd give it an 8.
8 Steps out of 10.
8 Steps out of 10.
That's too decent. Low.
Well, no, for something like someone who's not playing like single player games, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I enjoyed it so much more.
Nice.
Than playing through Horizon.
Oh,
yeah, and that's
so
yeah,
much more.
And yeah,
Horizon. Definitely. I can't really get into. It's a cool setting, but I can't really get into the story.
Fair enough. There's a lot going on.
God of War. Yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
So, remasters.
Remasters.
Remastered game coming from classics like God of War.
And what about
remastered.
What about reboots, reimaginings?
Well, that's what I think we should go through.
Reboots, remasters, remakes.
All the R's are in there.
Yeah.
Reimaginings, remakes, remasters.
Because I guess God of
reboots.
War itself was like a soft reboot.
Yes.
Reboot, yeah.
Where it's like, oh, let's just change the setting. Even though it's like a continuation of the story, it's like, it's
yeah, the
different
stuff
enough
happened,
that
yeah.
they're like, okay.
Yeah.
This is something different.
Reboots, yeah, I think. Is a game of the same name in the same series that they're doing again from scratch.
Yeah,
like the new Modern Warfare. That would be a reboot.
No, that's a reimagining.
Why would that be a reimagining?
Because they said it's a reimagining. Oh, right. Because this is the thing, right? Like, this is the bullshit
thing. So what's the difference between... Yeah, yeah. How do you define it?
Really,
that?
I think some of it has got to do with marketing, right?
It's got to.
Yeah, but I think... Okay, so let's go through it, right? Like, a remaster is exactly the same game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then it's got, like, all the textures have been
cleaned up.
Put to HD.
Yeah.
But the gameplay is pretty much the same. Maybe they'll add like a cloud save feature here or there, but effectively it's untouched.
And if
right?
you're paying for it again, there should be new attributes to it to make the experience a bit better, I think, personally.
You'd like to think so. I guess we're going to talk about good examples and bad examples of these
things. I've got a few good and bad examples that I've found that
but hold on.
So, are plaguing forums.
So reimagining then.
Sure.
I think is taking a game
using the same name, the same characters,
potentially
the same maybe locations, but giving them different things.
Yeah, but
making
almost
them different personalities.
I think a reimagining is almost like a reboot, but it changing it in a very fundamental way, updating it for modern thing. Whereas a reboot is kind of that, but maybe not as severe.
Or a reboot.
Like, let's put it this way, right? A reboot to Tomb Raider that came out, when was it, 2012?
The anniversary.
No. The
new one.
The
that
new
like,
one.
As
oh,
in,
right.
Which
yeah,
actually
yeah.
was
PlayStation 3,
Corey
Xbox.
Barlog as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did that. And funny enough, he wanted to do the single camera, no loading thing in that game as well.
Yeah.
But
that would have been well cool.
Yeah, but you know, I'm glad he saved it for God of War.
But
anyway, that Tomb Raider 2012 was really good. And that was a reboot. Because it's almost like, all right, everything we know about Lara Croft, it's happened. Let's put it away to a side. Let's go back to the beginning of her story, and let's forget about that, and let's start again. That's a reboot.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I guess a reimagining would be like, okay, but let's take fundamental things about Lara Croft and let's change it. So maybe she wouldn't be British.
That's what I thought.
You know, and maybe instead of like dual pistols, she just have a I don't know.
Her thing was a whip.
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe she's an Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Friend.
Yeah,
that would be a reimagining. So with the Modern Warfare game coming out this year, which I'm really excited about, first time in a long time that I've been excited about a COD game.
Mm-hmm.
Same here.
It's got the same characters. We know Price is in it.
Yeah.
It's been teased that there's going to be other characters, maybe like Soap or something. I don't know. Makarov, who knows? Maybe he's jumped in a time machine and
back alive again.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they're going Red Alert with it. But what they're doing is they're saying, okay, but you know, obviously, the concept of modern warfare has changed.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so they're trying to explore that. And maybe that's where the reimagining is coming in.
Right. Okay.
I'd be curious to see how well they pull it off, though. because there's still a lot of unknowns in terms of, I'm sure it'll be a well-received game, but, you know, let's see. Then again...
Still just a COD game. No,
yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the thing you've got to think of as well, that it is still a Call of Duty, and they've picked up a pretty bad rap for maybe the last couple that they've released.
A Call of Duty game,
it will sell.
There's a tick box, a checklist that they need to tick off, right?
Yeah.
That says this is now a COD game.
Yeah.
But I wonder if the reimagining is coming purely from the Modern Warfare slant, or if it's coming from the Call of Duty slant. Are they going to take that checklist and reimagine what it is to be a COD game? Or are they going to say, no, those things are sacred. You can't fucking touch those. So let's just alter the story in weird ways.
Yeah.
I wonder.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm hoping the latter. Because if it's just a box-ticking exercise, it'll just be exactly the same Call of Duty games with a fresh lick of paint.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone wants that.
Like, no.
But it's weird, right? Because you talk about redoing Modern Warfare, and you know that you have to have all ghillied up in there.
Yes.
It's got to be in there. So in a way, you're already ticking boxes. You've already ticked a box by saying Captain Price.
Yeah.
You know?
So, McTavish.
Yeah, well, maybe. You know?
Got to be.
So, okay, how much box ticking is going to be? I don't know. Time will tell. We'll see. But I guess the jury's out on that one. But we do know of some, right, that are like good examples and bad examples.
Yeah, of course. Before we go on, what's a remake?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this
is done remaster reimagining.
So I guess the most famous remake at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rush, what's that?
Well, I thought a remake was as in all the events in the story have happened. And that it's kind of like, well, oh, I don't know, maybe not.
This is where it gets kind of...
Sorry, no, because then I was thinking of remaster, so I tripped over my own thought of what a remaster
was. I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I think it is so kind of like weird and topsy-turvy that it's hard to kind of discern. So the most famous remake at the moment, which is getting a lot of traction, which I'm really happy about, is Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Right, yeah. Resident Evil 2 Remake? No?
Yeah, Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Yeah, that was a real one. Okay.
So... I think that is basically...
Telling the same story.
It's what a remaster is. But instead, when we said a remaster, it's just like updating the graphics to have HD textures.
Yeah.
So for instance, Final Fantasy VII had a remaster.
Yeah.
Where they released it on Steam. It's got cloud saves.
Yes.
All the resolution, the texture packs and everything were made into HD. Mm-hmm. But it was still these polygonal sprites walking on pre-rendered backgrounds. Yeah. It's still the same concept.
Yeah.
Whereas a remake is like, you know what? Ground up, we're rebuilding this thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you look at the Resident Evil 2 remake, it was like, we're rebuilding it. It's no longer going to be this isometric perspective with a fixed camera. It's not going to be behind the dude's shoulder.
Yeah.
Is it Chris Redfield?
Yeah. No.
Oh, no, Leon Kennedy.
Leon Kennedy.
Leon Kennedy, sorry.
Leon Kennedy, yeah.
You know, so it's going for that thing. It's also the case of like saying, oh, you know what? You can move and shoot now, which is fantastic.
Oh, my God.
You know.
So it's applying all of our new technology and our new ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I think they take... It's almost like they took the biggest complaints and just completely changed them.
But I think in terms of Final Fantasy VII, what they're doing, and something that they've always kind of said they wanted to do, which is, I think, the right way of going about remakes or, reboots, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Or reimaginings. Like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
is to say, previous gameplay would not be enjoyable in today's climate. As gamers, we've moved on.
Oh, yeah.
So many more ideas of combat.
No one wants a static combat system in a Final Fantasy game where you are on the left-hand side, your enemy's on the right-hand side, you go through menus, and that's just what happens.
Yeah.
People want that action. And the Final Fantasy series has kind of kept up with those moving trends, right?
Yeah.
So going from like the turn-based battles to the real-time battles. But what they're doing is they're reimagining the whole thing and saying, okay, well, let's take a little bit of the old, let's take a little bit of the new, let's kind of mash them together in a way that we think works. And by all accounts, what's coming out of E3 is fucking working really well.
Yeah, it looks very good.
Yeah.
I look forward to it'll be my first Final Fantasy game that I'm going to buy.
I can't wait to get all of your guys' opinion on that, because it is honestly one of my favourite games
ever. It looks like a universal game that everyone can jump into, because it's adapted to how people play games now and like what we're used to seeing. So
That's what I was going to say in terms of mass appeal.
Yeah.
I played the Final Fantasy VII. That's the only Final Fantasy I've played. And I think I've told you that I got to the spider bot on the
which
lift.
Is, by the way, which is like the first 2 hours. just want to put that out there. But yeah,
I was like, I'm done. I can't. I cannot get my head around like the turn-based system.
Done, but this is why I'm happy about this, right? Because in the past, it used to be really hard for me to kind of recommend this game that I love so much.
Yeah.
So anyone playing it now, playing the remastered version of it, which is still the same game, but just a little bit upraised.
Mm-hmm.
It for someone who doesn't have that nostalgia for it, just doesn't give a shit about it. And it's hard to recommend. But now I can say, look at all of these fucking graphics. Look how great this game looks. Look at this this active battle system that they've got. It's really fucking cool. And people can see that. Like, this is why we're watching the E3 thing with you guys. And I was very interested to see your guys' take on it. Because obviously I was like in Seventh Heaven. Mm. But I was wondering from you guys, like, how you would perceive it. Is this something that you were like, fuck yeah, that looks cool? And yeah, it seemed like you guys kind of took to it.
For me, being honest, it's not something that I would sit there and go, yeah, this looks insane. I'm going to definitely get my hands on this. This is going to be the game I play for the rest
of my life. Breaking my heart this day. But, okay.
Yeah.
But it certainly looked more appealing than Final Fantasy has ever looked to
me
before.
I think 15 would look appealing. Like, I think to a certain extent it did. Like, it did have it, but then there were limitations to it, and it was a different... It did stick to that. Oh, sorry. I think because it was like, I don't know anything about Final Fantasy, so I'm not going to get involved in 15.
Yeah. I'm going to start this at 15.
It looks cool, but I'm not going to get involved.
Yeah.
And maybe that's also that it wasn't appealing for everybody, where this is a kind of not cult hit, but it's a classic game.
Yeah.
Everybody like, a lot of people like it, a lot of people played it.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, if you like games, then yeah, get involved.
Yeah.
This is your opportunity to have a go.
One thing off the back of what you were saying, Chris, is they're now releasing them episodic.
Yeah.
Which is almost tells me that there's going to be more content.
Much more.
In these games than there ever was in Final Fantasy VII.
What they said was this episode one, okay, if anyone who knows Final Fantasy VII, only takes place in Midgar City.
Yeah.
Which
is the Spider-Bot City.
Well, yeah, sure.
Damn, that was one.
Get over it, Steph.
Yeah, that Spider-Bot was in one reactor in an entire city. But basically, in terms of like a percentage of the game, I don't know, maybe it's like, 20%.
That's
sure
crazy.
Someone in the comments could be like, actually, it's 15%.
Yeah.
Call it about 20% of the game takes place in Midgar City.
Right.
Right. And now they're saying that this episode one is all going to take place in Midgar City. But what they're saying is the amount of content in this episode would equate to a normal numbered entry in the Final Fantasy series. So, for instance, you take Final Fantasy 15 and you take Final Fantasy 7 episode one, they're going to be about the same size.
But that
sounds
a lot, Chris.
It sounds
insane. That sounds a lot.
How long, roughly, is Final Fantasy 7 going to take to complete, the original?
About 60 hours, maybe?
So,
but it depends how you play it.
That's 60 hours crammed into 20% of the game.
Yeah, so
that is a lot
of
content.
What they're doing, yeah. So I was concerned about the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I've been reading a lot of kind of like first-hand accounts at E3, because obviously we weren't there this year. We'll try to go there next year. But what they were saying is that everything is fleshed out. Because you got to remember, back then it was text on the screen for all the dialogue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now it's like fully fleshed out.
Now it's like dialogue.
And before then as well, it was kind of like, it was Japanese, and then it was localized by people that weren't really getting it.
Yeah.
And they weren't given exactly like the best resources or tools from Square at the time.
Yeah.
To make a good kind of like translation. So some of the translation is a bit iffy. Some of the gameplay is a bit iffy. But what they're doing is they're really fleshing it out. And all the reports that are coming out from E3 are saying, it's basically like, imagine if the original Final Fantasy VII was an outline of a drawing, and this new Final Fantasy VII remake is coloring in within the lines.
It's crazy.
It's mad. Like, everything is being fleshed out.
What's it going to be?
It's mad. Like, I don't know. And
It's going to be about 4 hours of gameplay, and they're going to do...
Just mini games.
They're just going to have hours upon hours of cutscenes.
It's mad.
Mission where you're just like swerving
on the
through
bike.
The traffic.
There's a bike mission in it.
Yeah.
At the end of the Midgar section when you're fighting Shinra. But anyway, there we go. I have a feeling that currently what they're saying with that is like, oh, equivalent to a normal numbered series in Final Fantasy. I think that's maybe a little bit of spin. I would imagine that maybe it would be like a 30 to 40 hour game.
Okay.
That's what I would expect to see.
Yeah.
And I would be very happy with that. But what
at full press?
Sorry?
At full price?
I wouldn't mind.
You would pay £50 an episode for...
No.
Yeah, no, you know what? I would. As long as the quality is there, and as long as episode 2 is just as long as episode 1, and episode 3 is just as long as episode 1 in terms of like length and quality and the amount of variety in it, of course I'd be happy. Why wouldn't I? But my big question on it is, how long are we waiting in between episodes?
Yeah, that's because our attention spans aren't that long anymore.
If it's 2 years,
Chris is for Final Fantasy.
I've waited a very long time for this remaster, so you know I can wait. But 2 years is maybe a little bit rough. I think I would imagine episode 1 would release, then maybe a year and a half for episode 2, and then once they're like fucking everything falls into place, then because all the assets are there, right? Like the engine is built, all of the heavy lifting has been done.
Yeah,
now they just got to fucking build the rest of it. Right?
Yeah.
So it's like the foundation is laid out with episode 1 and episode 2, 3, however many they're going to have.
That's crazy.
It's just adding more stuff. Technically, that's what you would imagine.
So what's going to happen when PlayStation 5 comes out and I'm going to have to buy it by episode 3?
Yeah, well, this is the weird thing, isn't
it? Or you're going to have to buy episode 1 again.
Or episode 1 again. What am I going to have to do, Chris?
That's actually a very good point. I think Square would be crazy not to release all episodes on PS4. And then maybe on PS5, they'll be like, this is the full collection.
Yeah.
Yes, I reckon they'll do
and,
that.
And I have a feeling that when the PS5 launches,
£120.
But I have a feeling when the PS5 launches, right? Because everyone's saying that it's going to be backwards compatible. I would imagine that, like, right. So for episode 1, we're buying the PS4 version.
Yes.
Episode 2 will be a PS5 version that'll run on your PS4.
Yeah.
And I feel I don't think they'll have two separate versions of it. I think it'll be one version that can run on either.
Yeah.
That's how I imagine that they would do it. But time will tell.
Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, that's one game in many.
Many remastered games.
Crash Team Racing.
That's what we're supposed to talk about.
That's
this
what
podcast,
it's all about, baby.
It's all about Final Crash Fantasy now.
So we're going to play it on stream tomorrow.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I think we're going to try and get like all four people on the stream.
I don't know. I'm not in tomorrow, so.
So Steph isn't playing.
That's why I said all four people.
I missed out
because who are you, Steph?
I don't know if I'm looking forward to it because I don't really remember playing the original.
I love the original.
It's great. But hold on, we had an absolute fucking blast playing
Sonic
Team Sonic Racing, right?
Yeah, let's hope this is
like Crash
10 times better than
Team
that.
Racing is the original.
Mario
Kart is the original.
Let's put it this way, right?
Fair enough.
Definitely, it's the OG competitor
to Mario Kart. Yeah, I think it's just as good. I think it's better, personally.
Yeah.
Because I just like, I've always liked Crash. I like the attitude. Yeah. I like kind of just like, I like the weapons.
You like the jean shorts?
Yeah. The characters are all great. Like, it's not squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Mario was. And I was I had PlayStation, so yeah.
There we go.
It's all about the PlayStation.
That's all I had
growing up.
That's all I had.
No Nintendo for me. So I
had a SNES, but I didn't have any new, like, of the time, any Nintendo stuff. So only a Game Boy.
Yeah. So do you think, and this is the question I think about as well, with especially with buying remasters.
Yeah.
Do you think it's almost unfair that they're playing into nostalgia?
Yeah, to a certain extent, because this game doesn't look good. I will say that. I don't think
Crash Team, right?
Yeah, I don't think it looks very good. There's something about it that looks a bit off, and I feel like, yeah, there is kind of like a hype train / nostalgia train that is pushing it, and people, I don't want to be, as I said, I am looking forward to playing it, but I'm looking forward to playing it with other people.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, oh, I can't wait to play and do the story mission.
Yeah. You're not going to go rush home and buy your own copy.
Roshan's going to be the first female esports Crash Team Racer.
That
would be awesome, but we're going to do that.
Yeah,
because HGG does esports, Roshan Crash Team Racing.
I honestly do love the game, and the story is actually really good. Like, as a kid, I remember really liking it, but then I watched a comparison video where they showed the old cutscenes to the new ones.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just, there's something not quite right about it. Like, it doesn't feel.
Do you think that, like, with the shitter graphics of, like, say, the PS1,
it gives it charm?
Yeah, because you almost had to, as a kid, you had to fill in the gaps.
Yeah,
flesh out the fur and shit. Yeah. And now it's done for you. Like, well, that looks a bit weird.
But
that's what I had with Crash Bandicoot Insane.
Yeah,
because I downloaded that and played that, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember this level when I used to play it when I was 6, and I had my first PlayStation or however, I can't remember when it came
out. But
that was
purely feeding off nostalgia.
Well, that's
it?
The thing. Yeah. The Crash Bandicoot, the original one's a dog shit game. It's crap.
It's just old sensibilities, and this is what Jamie and I were kind of getting to the crux of when in our previous discussions. We were saying there's a line in the sand. and there's doing nostalgia in the right way and doing nostalgia in a bad way. I think in terms of Crash Bandicoot, I think that they did it in the wrong way, but it still sold well and people still enjoyed it, so fine, whatever. I think with Crash Team Racing, I think it's going to go in the good way purely because of what kind of a game it is. It's just a racing game, right? Like,
sure,
you play with people.
You play with people. And it's almost like a known quantity, whereas like with Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, like it's almost like, oh well, this is weird because it doesn't feel as fluid, and it's weird because obviously they're using this technology where it's like, oh, these hitboxes, and why am I keep on missing this ledge?
Yeah,
because they've updated. You know, it's like that's the wrong way of kind of going about it. And I think Spyro kind of fell into that trap as well. And I'm pretty sure that Medieval is going to fall into that trap as well, where it's going to be, it's exactly the same game, just in a new engine with but it's the same mechanics, right?
Yeah.
But then something with Spyro, for example, had the updated camera. So they're adding something new that makes the game smoother and easier.
But at the end of the day, right, like,
you lose that charm from the PlayStation being frustrating.
Certain things, they're meant to be a certain way. They're meant to be a certain outlet. So you're supposed to be seeing Spyro as a pixelated kind of 3D.
Yeah,
I feel like that's how you should see Spyro.
Yeah.
You shouldn't see what he looks like now. I mean, what was the...
Skylander.
Oh, Skylander, yeah. He looked like he was on steroids. Like, and I think also I feel like Spyro has been like tarnished because of that, I think. I think that maybe not as much as Sonic is tarnished because of all the stuff that he's ever done or whatever. I blame him, sorry, but like what Sega have done with him. But I do think, yes, Spyro, just that remaster, well... Is it a remaster, reboot, whatever we want to call
it? That was a remaster, I think.
Came and
or
went.
Or remake. That was a remaster. Yeah.
Came and went.
See, no one knows.
Yeah,
know. But
it was
a remake? Is it a remaster?
But it was the same story and the same
thing. It was the same thing. It was just, but I feel like it just kind of washed away, didn't it? It came out and then...
Yeah, people bought it. It sold well. It got on the
Jonesy
charts.
Jonesy bought it and that was it.
Yeah. Has Jonesy actually played it? I wonder. No, he probably just bought it sitting there on his shelf. But my point is this, right? Let's... These games were made for PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, and what the PlayStation 1 could muster was not a hell of a lot in terms of what we expect as gamers now.
Yeah.
Okay, so what they're doing is like, you can add a camera movement. It's still the same thing of like, so you jump from this platform to that platform and you pick up this apple and eat that, blah, blah, blah. If you want that kind of an experience, that kind of a game.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take Crash Bandicoot as an example and everything you're doing there. And yes, it's charming and it's fun and it's got the nostalgia, but it's not a great game and it's fucking hard and it's made even harder by the fact that they've altered the hitboxes, etc., whatever. And the
shout out Bridge to Nowhere.
Exactly, right?
Just run down the rope.
Crash 3 is pretty good. I like Crash 3. Yeah. Did you play? No, it's a good game.
Okay,
Crash 3 is good.
Crash 2 and 3 were significantly better.
Crash 2 is also pretty good. But
fair. They did well in terms of their sequels. But take Crash, even 1, 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And compare it to Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Yeah.
Or Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Yeah.
Like, there is no comparison. If you had to put both games in front of me, which game am I going to have much more fun with, appreciate a lot
Donkey
more,
Kong.
Feel more challenged in a fair way, not like, oh, just fucking edge detection is bonked. Fucking
Donkey Kong.
Yeah. All day long. So it's like... It depends what you want. Like, if you want your nostalgia hit, sure, fucking, you know, they're not full price games, so what can you really argue about it? But if you really want that kind of a thing, fucking go for the Donkey Kongs or go for, what was it, Rayman Legends, you know, like those are the games you should be looking at.
Rayman Legends is like a reboot, isn't it? It's looking at the product, looking at the franchise and going, well, let's make a good game out of it. Let's take Rayman and
almost like taking that checklist of what makes a Rayman game and saying, okay, let's not tick this. Instead, let's update it to what we would expect today. And once we've updated, then let's tick it. And I think that's the way to go.
I've played some shit Rayman games on the DS. Bad. I remember the graphics being so bad that even at the time I was like, this game looks like shit. Like, and that was, you know, that was what kind of was expected. But like playing from Nintendogs to go into that.
Yeah.
And like it was all, I can't even explain. Like you couldn't even differentiate what was what because it was
Nintendogs?
Nothing wrong with a
Nintendogs. No, I'm saying let's get a Nintendogs remaster going.
They just released one.
Yeah, it's called, it's not called Nintendogs because.
Cats and Dogs.
Something
like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Adorable, that's why I feel like.
I've lost it
on the Switch.
I've lost it
I feel like that's why no one knows about it because it's not called Nintendo.
The modern
but is it made by Nintendo?
It's the same game, isn't it, Steph? I swear it's like a Nintendogs.
Or is it just
it's not Nintendogs.
It's off brand, you see.
Yeah.
It looks
I don't think
good.
It's developed by Nintendo.
I might purchase it for my Switch.
do you also think that it could be down to our age? that actually Crash Bandicoot is really aimed at the 6-year-olds.
No, because I played it. I played an original when the Insane Trilogy came out. I still had my PS3. It still worked. And I brought an old PS1 games on it. So I had that on there. So I had all the games. I didn't need to buy them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was just like, I don't need to. And I enjoyed it. It was fine. Yeah. Nothing was wrong with it. Like, it was like, it was, a, I don't know that, but it was because it looked.
The Insane Trilogy? Or are you talking about the original?
So sorry. When the Insane Trilogy came out,
yeah.
I had my PS3.
Yeah.
And it had all the PS1 games. So I even had Spyro 2 on there as well. Right. So they, just as they were on the PS1,
yeah.
But you play them on your PS3.
She's saying they didn't really need updating.
I don't think they need it. So
but
my,
then again, yeah. they had to. So this is a weird thing because obviously PS4 was like, cool, there's not really, like, backwards compatibility is a bit of an issue here.
Yeah.
Right? So that remasters, you could say, have a place in the world in order to get them onto the next platform so that people can enjoy them.
So yeah, yeah. That's, yeah. Which was going to bring me to my point.
Jump the gun a bit.
That was fine. So on my PS3 is great. So my thinking is, like, why not release... Yeah, I understand that new people need to experience the game, and I do think there is an opportunity for companies to be like, oh, we can make a lot of money off of this because you know, people can play it. But then I also think,
people
why
buy it for their kids and then people buy it for themselves for nostalgia.
So we've got win-win. There's two kinds of people that would play it. But then I also think, why not put those games on like that mini PS1?
Could have been quality.
That could have been so good.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah,
They're selling it for like $25.
It wasn't good.
It's like from 100. From 100.
And I think,
well done, Sony.
They could have just made a few more tweaks, and then maybe just don't do the first PS1. Do the updates of when PS1 was like coming not to its end, but was at its prime.
What, release
like,
it with a fucking DualShock controller?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Do a DualShock, make it just the machine got better as it got older.
Yeah.
Even when it was PS1, when it was like the same size as a Game Boy Advance.
Oh yeah, that small one. Yeah, the PS1.
Release that. Like, do that and put all those games on there and let people enjoy them how they should be enjoyed.
Yeah.
That. Some media, different types of media needs to be put in, like, needs to be outputted in certain ways, I think, personally.
Agreed.
Even like books sometimes. Sometimes a book needs to be a book. It doesn't need to be a film.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it can. Or an audio book, fair enough. But you know what I mean? Like, sometimes that's
spoken
enough.
Spoken by Stephen Fry.
Yeah. That's most audio.
I think we've got to move on from the crash, but I want to make one more point on that, right? Because you said, oh, maybe it's for 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
6-year-olds aren't buying these fucking games. Yeah. Their parents are buying these games. And if my little kid, once he's 6, he's like, oh, I want Spyro, I'd be like, well, maybe you want to try.
But they're also
Donkey
not,
Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're also not being marketed to these. Like, there's no like adverts anymore about Spyro. Yeah. Or
they're being marketed to us.
Yeah, they're being marketed to these.
Hey, remember Crash?
Remember.
Remember Spyro? Yeah. Remember Medieval? That kooky fucking skeleton.
Bring back Gex, I say.
Gex, there we go.
So you think they need to? They need to pander nostalgia.
To get
into the hands of the new generations, the new child generations coming up.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of things at play. I think it's good that they are releasing them to be updated on a new console so that they are available for people. Right?
Yeah.
It's good that they're not charging full price for essentially an old product.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's as hyped as it should be.
And it's not. But
it's ridiculous. It should just be like, hey, you want to play Crashers?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's that genuine as well. There is definitely like, we're going to make money out of this.
Yeah.
Here we go. That's why they've made, they made Crash to test to
see
how
Crash?
It was.
Naughty Dog?
Yeah.
Ooh, they need that sweet The Last of Us 2.
Last of Us 2 is not going to make itself. We need their money.
Did Naughty Dog get any money anymore? Did they sell the license to it or not?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. But yeah,
All right. Do you have any other examples of games we've been talking about?
Well, I was going to say we've spoken about games we played as children, but what about games that we've, I suppose, played closer to adulthood, like Halo Master Chief Collection, Modern Warfare, Metro.
Oh yeah,
have all had Metro remasters. Redux. Even Borderlands have now just released all of their stuff.
Before
Borderlands 3, what do you think about those types of remasters, and are they needed?
I played Borderlands. That's how I played Borderlands for the first time through a remaster on PS Now.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Yeah, because they've just released the Handsome Collection.
And I now have that. Oh no, that's PS Plus.
Sorry,
you can get it on PS Plus, but I played this like last year on PS Now.
Oh right, okay.
So PS
Now
is a streaming service.
I'm new to PlayStation.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm still learning the terminology.
I don't know if it was a remaster though. I feel maybe it was the original PS3 game now.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about
it. If it was on PS3.
So maybe that doesn't count. So I will keep that quiet.
I think. Yeah, like I said, like in terms of trying to get stuff in new consoles, obviously it was stuff like for instance, let's take Halo.
Yeah.
Right. Putting them all together in a collection, which I guess is what Insane Trilogy was as well, just kind of allows people to get into it. And I think Halo might be a bit different because Halo is obviously an ongoing series.
Yeah.
And people might look at like the new trailers at E3 and be like, Halo Infinite, it's like, oh, I wonder what this is all about. I know people are going fucking mad about it. Let me find out about it.
Mm.
And then you're talking about, okay, well, here's Master Chief Collection with all these games that has never been on PC.
Yeah.
That's quite a big draw for people, I think.
Yeah.
But it depends. I would really like, regardless of what it is or who's making it, I would like to see more than just a texture bump.
Yeah.
Or an resolution bump, etc. Yeah. I'd like to see, like, yeah, let's fix the camera controls if they're broken. You know what? This section of the game that was fucking broken as well. Let's fucking reimagine that. Like, let's, like, fix stuff, right?
Yeah.
Fix stuff and add some actual value to it rather than, here's the same thing.
Here's the same thing, but in 4K upscaled, that's not really 4K.
Yeah, I don't want to insult anybody who liked and who made the Shadow of Colossus, the remake.
Ooh. Oh, great shout. I love Shadow of the Colossus, the original.
Yeah, I didn't.
The original.
No, oh, I did not. No, yeah.
Or the
so the original
PlayStation 2 game it was.
Yeah, yeah, it was PlayStation 2, and then they redid it.
Yeah.
Remastered, remade, reimagined. No, not reimagined, it's still the same game.
I think it was a remake.
It was a remake.
It was a remake.
Ooh.
So it's exactly the same game.
Oh, a remaster.
yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, sorry.
Technically, it is a remaster because they didn't really change much about
it. They didn't change jack shit about it, and I'll tell you why. Because it was painful to play for me. It was very, very painful. I did not I enjoyed it for the first. I did like three. Got up to. I can't even remember. Maybe it was two. It got up to the bird boss,
oh,
basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it was two. Alongside playing God of War. And I don't want to compare. But it was very, after a while, that the grip was very hard and trying to climb up to the point where I couldn't see. Like, they didn't change the I couldn't change the camera and I couldn't see where I was. So I'd end up just falling off and then, like, starting all over again was very, like...
And you're like, I'm done.
I just, I didn't want to. I really didn't want to give up, but I did. Oh, no, I got to the bit with the guy with the big hammer.
Oh, right, yeah. That's the first one.
No. I got up to the bird. Yeah, no, what am I talking about? I'm rethinking about where I was because I remember getting up to the guy with the hammer and then falling all the way down.
God.
And I was just a bit like, there were parts I did like. I liked the challenge. And I think in the beginning, I was like, yeah, this is kind of cool. I don't mind it. But after a while, when the beast is moving and its hair is moving and I can't even see myself as the player, I couldn't see the guy. I was like,
this is what I'm talking about, right? Like, let's take an example. Because you had a Mega Drive, right?
Yes.
All right, so let me give you an example like this, okay? Did you play Lion King on the Mega Drive?
Yes.
Okay, remember that fucking monkey level?
Yeah.
Yes.
I played it on PC.
Chucked around on the monkey? Remember how
I had it?
That
yeah, I had it on PC, sorry, not Sega.
I had it on PC.
But yeah, I remember.
The reason that level would, I do have a point, Chad. It may seem a bit weird. The reason that level was so hard, was because back in the day you could rent these games from, say, I don't know, like Blockbuster or whatever, right? And they had it. They were like, all right, at level 3, you know, for some reason it was always level 3. At level 3, we're gonna make it fucking hard as nails, so that you can't finish it in the day. No, really. Like,
that's mental. So
developers have come out on record saying this. Right,
that's mental.
They should be put in jail.
Yeah, but you don't know how many joysticks on my old computer, Windows 95, maybe earlier, had one joystick with two buttons on it. And then when you made a mistake on the Lion King and you whacked the joystick back the other way,
I didn't
snaps,
have a joystick, I had to use a keyboard.
Snapped the rod inside of the joystick, and then you don't know how many joysticks I went through. Me and my brother playing that game.
Steph joystick
went
killer.
Went through the joysticks. Yeah. Jesus.
Joysticks.
But do you know what I mean? So if you had to update, so this is my point.
Yes.
If this game had to be remastered.
Yeah.
Okay. But they don't change that level. It's bullshit because the reason that level existed was for a reason that does not exist anymore.
It's not yet.
So why would you have it like that? You would need to go back into that design of that level and just rethink it.
And that's what.
And it's the same thing with Shadow of the Colossus. Yeah. Like, rethink the camera because obviously the camera was a limitation because of the PS2 hardware.
It was going
but that's
mental.
Not there anymore.
Yeah,
so rethink it.
there was times when it was just like it was shaking and I just couldn't see it.
Oh, what was like bumping
yeah,
into
yeah, like it was bumping into the giant. Like it's like the camera was bumping into the giant. And I was just like, oh, and I ended up calling my horse at 1 minute, like, because I was just pressing all these buttons and I fell off. And that was out for good sake. But yeah, yeah.
But then does that yeah. cease being a remaster? A more of a reimagining? Because they're reimagining.
No, if it's the exact
same story, I don't think you can say it's
yeah.
a reimagining.
No, a remaster is literally going, oh, remember this game you really like? Well, we've done the graphics. Here we go. Yeah. Like, that's what I think it is. Just like, it's not like, whereas Resident Evil 2 was built from the ground up again, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah.
Am I me saying that?
Yes. Yeah.
So, like, I don't
because Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
They had this new engine, yeah. the RE engine,
yes.
which looks fucking amazing, and they used that. So yeah. definitely both from.
Yeah, of course. I don't want to insult anybody that is who made the game, but yeah, I just thought, wow, for a remaster, I was expecting to like kind of. This was the first time I was playing this game. I know a lot of people love the game, and I was a bit upset. Not upset, but I was a bit like, no, a bit bummed that I didn't enjoy it. Sure, and I was a bit yeah. like, nah, because yeah. Jamie was like, oh, it's just you. And I was like, oh, I guess it is.
So then a final question from me.
Yeah.
As we've just really come out of E3.
Yes.
What you're looking forward to. Ooh. What remaster are you looking forward to?
Yeah, well, it's Final Fantasy VII for me. Yeah, I got high hopes for it.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. I guess a remake. I'm looking forward to Link's Awakening a lot because.
Oh yeah.
I would say the same.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Have you got a Switch, Steph?
I haven't got a Switch.
Would this make you get a Switch?
It's a game that would possibly make me buy a Switch.
That's mad. You know, if you bought a Switch, you've got that game, you've got Breath of the Wild, and Breath of the Wild 2 as well. You've got Mario Odyssey, even Mario Kart, Smash Bros. You've got so many great games looking like waiting for you.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna have to do it.
I think it's in good hands because obviously it's Nintendo, but
yeah.
and it's like one of their main games, one of their main franchises. But I feel like this is it looks like what a remake should be,
yeah.
as in like yeah. you know, you get an old game and then you think, okay, what can we do to like make this not trendy, but get a fresh approach to it? And I think
and
I also think it's also looking at what doesn't need to be changed as well. It looks like it's just going to be the dungeon kind of crawler, not crawler, but dungeon explorer that we're used to with Zelda. And I think that
they're adding
a lot of cool
stuff to it as well. Like, hey, build your own dungeon.
Yeah, of course.
Hey,
of course,
here's like a more advanced kind of fishing game. You know, like stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
little mini.
It's appreciated and it makes sense for the game that it is.
Yeah,
sure.
And I think it's going to complement that story. I look forward to getting to the mountain with a big egg on top.
Well, there we go. Yeah.
Great.
Remakes, remasters, and reboots.
Reimaginings.
Reimaginings. Yeah.
Just wait for ATG Rebooted.
It will come. If you wanted to chime in on anything we've spoken about today, or let us know your favourite remakes, remasters, reboots, or what you're looking forward to coming in the future, then do let us know over on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV. And as usual, just going to end with a few questions that I've picked up.
Let's go for it.
First one's from, is it Lomi? I'm sorry if I butchered your name, or Lomi. Lomi.
She did say,
when did John, Steph, and Roisin join? Or were they all there all along, but just didn't do voiceovers?
Oh, interesting. Well, Steph, you joined quite recently, like towards the end of last year, I think?
August.
Maybe not all that recent.
I've nearly been here a year.
Yeah. So.
See, I joined August last year. I was hired to really primarily run the social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Which you've been doing a great job, so thank you.
Thank you very much. but over that time, I was really actually, I think it was probably because someone was off and I filled in once and I had to fill in with a voiceover or a live stream. But I've kind of been integrated into the presenting side of things as well with All Time Gaming, which is really, really nice. But and on YouTube, I was integrated into kind of the back end of YouTube, the metadata type stuff. So
helping us out with that.
Yeah,
what about you, Roach? You've been with us for a long time.
Nearly two years, maybe.
I'd say a bit more.
Nearly 3 years.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow, 3 years.
Ah. not that that's a bad thing at all, just how old I am and feel. Yeah, I don't know. When did I join?
Well,
3 years ago.
Yeah, probably about 3 years ago. So you joined primarily helping us out on the edits.
Yes.
So at one stage, it was just you and me doing the editing.
Yeah, yeah.
Jonesy and Jamie were just talent and obviously helping us decide what to do with the channel. But the people working on it in the trenches were me and Roisin.
Oh yeah, sorry, it's so long ago. It throws me when people ask me like what I've been doing.
Mad. We've had some crunch that we've had to go
like
through.
Like Christmas,
Christmas is always mad.
Yeah.
Roche has been around for a long time, and Roche also you help us set up all of our sets and mm-hmm. our shoots yep. and our podcast with the equipment and everything. Yep. So without Roche, you wouldn't be hearing us right now.
Mm-hmm. We'll get your six lists.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get six lists.
So, and then John joined us recently just to kind of help us with some strategy stuff. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's helping with a few of the other all-time channels as well. Milo left us, so listen. Yeah, sorry, Milo. Press F to pay your respects.
Sorry, Milo. Hope you're enjoying Japan.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
All right. We've got a question. I've put these next two together because they're very, very similar. Yeah. Morning Coffee wrote this question on YouTube. What's your favorite Monster Energy flavor?
I forgot what it's called.
I know
Ultra
yours.
Ultra Citron.
Yellow.
Yeah.
Yellow.
Yellow. Ultra Yellow
Citron.
Monster.
Ultra Citron. It tastes like lemonade. It's very tasty. Nice. It's very, very good.
I don't know what it's called at all, but it's in a light baby blue can.
Oh,
it's ultra
sugar free. It's a zero.
It's a zero. It's a sugar
free. We like
one.
Our zeros here at ATG. Yeah.
Your one is a zero.
My one is a zero.
My favorite one is not a zero.
Yeah.
Yours is going to be
like a renegade.
Lewis Hamilton.
Hamilton.
So, Lewis, if you're listening.
Lewis Hamilton, if you're tuning into the ATG.
It's really good.
We love your monster.
Hold on. This is not sounding good. Thank goodness Alex Jones is here because he's seen Lewis Hamilton's penis.
Has he?
Yeah. Just going to put that out there. We'll leave it there.
We'll leave that explanation. We'll leave that there.
We'll leave it hanging. So, but if I'm on a day where it's like, you know what, I've had too much sugar, I'll have a big red sugar-free monster. I do like it. And if we're talking about Red Bulls, coconut and berry.
That's
special
very good.
Edition.
That's making
very
its way
so
into the
it's
ATG headquarters.
It's so delicious.
I've noticed.
But yeah.
We're energy drink fiends.
And another drink-related question was from our very, very favourite Nick Martin over
Nick
on
Martin,
Twitter.
Yeah.
Favourite alcoholic beverage?
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm quite partial to beers. I do like my beers.
Any particular brand?
You know what? I like Blue Moon.
A Blue Moon.
Very American.
I like it. It's nice. But I like my craft beers as well.
Hipster?
Yeah. Well,
hipster.
Fine. Whatever.
Here's a hipster.
There's a place near me called Beer and Burger. Oh,
independent like craft makers.
Listen, when you have a fucking
BrewDog,
I'm so above BrewDog.
BrewDog.
I'm talking about small batch creators that are doing like really cool shit. Like, here's a marshmallow porter.
Yeah.
Mm, or here's the
local ones as well. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. The best one I ever had, I think it was from, I can't remember what the brewery was, but it was a peach Melba flavored. Beer, like peach Melba ice cream beer, and that was fucking amazing. You could
that sounds tasty. Sorry.
But if it's not beer, I do love myself some amaretto.
Oh,
double amaretto and lime on the rocks. Give it to
just,
me any day.
Just give it.
Amaretto.
You had a bad experience with amaretto.
Very bad experience.
Oh, but it's lovely. Like Dr. Pepper.
Yes, great.
Dr. Pepper.
I like Dr. Pepper.
hot Dr. Pepper.
What about you, Roche? Favourite alcoholic beverage?
It's not my favourite, but my go-to is just a vodka soda. Gotta watch that. Calories.
Yeah.
Healthiest drink in the bar, right?
Healthiest drink in the bar, thank you very much. I haven't drunk in a very long time, I have to say.
When was the last time you had a drink? My birthday.
Yeah, and I had vodka soda.
You had vodka sodas. You had a few vodka sodas.
Right, what were you drinking? What were you knocking
were
back
you
on your birthday?
I was knocking back vodka lemonades.
And he had it in a port glass and was holding it like a pimp. Oh. Like that.
Like this.
I'm like, but like, you don't need to do that. You don't need to swig
swirling it.
He was swirling. It's just so for people who are
mixing
not
in the ice
it.
Cubes and the slice of lime.
Yeah, he was swirling it.
Any of you are partial to like a nice, good whiskey?
Whiskey's a bit.
A friend's just bought me some Glenlivet.
Okay.
Glenlivet whiskey. I do like my whiskeys every now and then. I'm not a big whiskey drinker.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's certain ones that I like. Like, I like Glenrothes. It's really nice. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. But yeah. I think some of them can be really nice.
I prefer rum. Yeah. But
rum, okay.
Rum and Red Bull.
In my youth, Spiced Gold and Coke.
Ooh, hello.
Ooh. Hello, ladies. Get a couple
swirling
down me
it.
And be like, wah!
Swirling it.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Booze.
booze.
Although these days it's more about the energy drinks than the booze. Like, yeah.
We need to stay alive.
We just need to be on top form, really.
Yeah. My hangover's getting worse as well.
Any more questions?
I hate a hangover. Last question. Ray Sid Harder. Sorry I butchered your name.
Ray Sid Harder.
I don't know why I'm getting that inflection. Ray Sid Harder.
If you knew how to create games, what type of game would you want to create?
Fucking great question. How much time have you got?
We probably got about 10 minutes.
I can go
quickly do this.
Fucking all day long. But I'd really like to make a roguelike.
Yeah.
And I've got a conceptual idea in my noggin.
Okay.
That I'd like to get down. I'm not going to
Give it away. Don't spill it. Just in case. What's a roguelike game, by the way?
So, with permadeath, but as you do a run.
Like that underground thing you told me
say
to
it. Enter
the Gungeon.
No, not that.
Enter the Gungeon is a roguelike.
Dead Cells. No? Oh.
The one where you
say Enter the Dungeon.
It was very much top down.
Dungeon.
Yeah.
And then the opening scene was like 10 minutes long of you sitting on a boat.
Oh, what Below.
Oh, yeah.
What, Below? Is that a roguelike?
Trash that.
Below, yeah. That's a roguelike. Yeah. That's great. But that was
great.
That was more a harder roguelike.
Yeah.
That was hot trash, Chris.
If I made a game...
What would you make?
Oh, it's so difficult. It's such a hard...
I would like a game with a character.
I think I would make like an RPG.
Oh, would you?
Yeah, but
that's complex.
Yeah,
that's numbers. That's spreadsheet stuff.
Yeah, but I would want it to be like not basic, but like I would want to have other elements of like it being a roguelike or what. I wanted it to be a RPG based, but then add different elements of other games. Some sort of. I'd like that. I like the idea of story is very important, basically, for me, and characters. I want people to be able to like relate to a character. I want to give
what kind of setting.
Yeah, like a normal setting, and then I don't know something
like a modern day, medieval,
caveman,
that
sci-fi, modern day with sci-fi
elements.
Oh. Like I'd have it in the distant future. Like I like dystopian stuff, ideas, but I wouldn't want the darkness to be taking over. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't want it to be like Beholder or something like that.
Oh, Beholder's so bleak.
It's very bleak. But then I do like that. So it'd have elements of you're in this world where you're kind of surviving or something like that. So yeah, I think it would be.
You guys have put some thought into this.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's hard though. I can't pin it down.
Yeah. I'll give you a little bit more info on my
idea. Oh,
shit.
Here we go.
Definitely going to be...
Get your notepads out if you're listening.
Definitely going to be mech-based, so you're going to be piloting a mech.
Like Mech Warrior.
Not like Mech Warrior. I'd like to have it a different kind of perspective.
Back in the day, Mech Warrior.
But the thing about roguelikes, right, is you'll play the game, you'll run through it, you'll die because you're underpowered, but as you're going through it, you unlock stuff, which help you in your next run be more powerful, which lets you get a little bit further on.
Yeah.
So that's more of an explanation of a roguelike. And with the mech thing, is like your mech would start off like pretty basic.
Yeah.
But as you go along and you die and you drop your parts of your mech or other players as parts of mechs, and you go and you pick them up, and then that helps you be more powerful.
Chris has thought about it.
I've thought about it. I've got all that.
This is some deep thinking.
Anyone wants to make this game with me, I'm open to a rev share. A split.
ATG Publishing.
Hell yeah, coming soon.
ATG Publishing.
What about you, Steph?
I haven't put as much thought into that. But
no
story, I think, is very important. But I'd like a character. Like a mascot character. Like your Crash Bandicoots or your Spyros or your Sonics.
Steph,
that would be awesome.
Steph the Joystick Killer.
Just be like a caricature version of me.
Can we make a game?
Using a joystick as like a weapon on the end of the string, end of the cord, swinging it around.
I'd love, you know what, I'd love Steph's adventures in social media, right? And it's like an Indiana Jones, but social media slanted.
And you're running away from...
Keanu Reeves memes.
Yes.
You are obsessed with Keanu Reeves. It is ridiculous.
All jealous of him.
Oh. He's joining the MCU.
Yeah, I know.
Did you hear that story? Ridiculous. Yeah. I read that this morning.
Don't
I was
get
like,
angry.
Come on.
Steph gets very angry
come
when
on.
You
He's
mention
down
Keanu
the most
Reeves.
Famous man in acting ever, and he gets his part in the MCU. Get
you
out.
Know why? Because he's a beautiful man.
And he's Keanu Reeves.
Because he's Keanu Reeves. Obviously, clearly, he's the best. Yeah.
You're breathtaking.
Anyway.
Yes.
Before I feel my blood boiling. If you did want to get in touch with us, as a reminder, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV. And below in the YouTube description, you can find a link to our Patreon where you can pledge for a minimum of $1 a month to join us on Discord, and we've got our link to a link to our merch down there as well, so you can find everything down below. But thank you very much, guys, for joining me on this podcast. It's a lot shorter than the other ones, but I think we've had a
it was good, old chat.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it.
Thank you for watching or listening at home, and we will see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.